This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. David Granite, and welcome to Health Matters. Well, you've probably heard about it. You've probably seen it. You may have read about it. E-cigarettes and vaping. I'm not even sure I understand what e-cigarettes really are. Is it like an iPhone, an e-cigarette? But whatever it is, it's catching on because it's done over $2 billion worth of sales. We need to know whether or not these are safe. We need to know whether or not these are something that we should be doing and promoting. We need to know whether or not this has any role in our society going forward and if there are health risks. To get us through this topic, we have an expert in the matter, Dr. Laura Crotty Alexander. Welcome.
Thank you.
Dr. Alexander is an assistant professor here at the University of California, San Diego, and is a staff physician at the Veterans Hospital as well, and has done research and has incredible knowledge about all this. So I'm so glad you're here. I don't know anything about e-cigarettes.
Great.
And so this is great because I get to ask all the questions that I think everybody wants to know. And I think we have to start with, what are e-cigarettes?
So the E is short for electronic. So it's electronic cigarette, e-cigarette, and they were invented in China 10 years ago. And within a year, they became international. And of course, now they're adding 7 new brands per month. It's exploding, 7,700 flavors. So electronic cigarettes are a device so that you can breathe in nicotine without burning tobacco.
So it's a nicotine delivery device?
Yes.
Okay. And how does it physically work?
So you have a battery, and you screw that onto a cartridge, is what they're called. And the cartridge contains e-juice.
So it's a liquid?
It's a liquid.
Okay.
So these liquids are primarily propylene glycol, which is a chemical. And some users use vegetable glycerin.
Okay, so wait, propylene glycol, is it something naturally found in human beings?
No.
Okay, we'll start there.
So I would say it's more like, something you'd use in a chemistry lab.
Okay.
So lots of glycols are used in chemistry and in research, but we don't find them in the human body or in usual things that
it's
we take
fruit.
Into our body. No, it is not fruit. And to sort of combat the chemical sound of that, that is why they also have the juices made out of vegetable glycerin. Because it sounds healthier, it sounds cleaner. This is from vegetables. It's probably safe and good for you.
Okay.
But it's really chemically, very similar to the propylene glycol.
I got it. So it's this liquid that's got this propylene glycol and something that's synthesized from vegetables that's like that. And then what else is in it?
Nicotine.
Pure nicotine.
Pure nicotine. Okay. So you can buy these cartridges pre-mixed, meaning that it has these chemicals, the glycols in them, with a certain amount of nicotine. So you can just buy it, use it, and whatever nicotine concentration and chemicals are in there, you take into your body.
This is like those coffee cartridges that you put into a unit
exactly.
coffee thing, and it's pre-made.
Yes.
Now, you said there were 7,700 different flavors.
Yes.
What does that mean, flavors?
So not only do you have this sort of base liquid that all of these different companies are using, but you can add flavors to it to entice the user or make it a more pleasurable experience for the user. So some flavors are straight up tobacco flavors. So they have ones called, Red American Tobacco.
So it tastes like a cigarette.
Tastes like a cigarette. Big Smoke Tobacco. So they have these flavors so that people who are using the e-cigarette, it will taste like a regular cigarette.
Okay.
But beyond that, they have all of these flavors that are targeted at children and women, including cotton candy, chocolate mint, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Fruit Loops. The flavors are pretty ridiculous, and it's clear who they are targeting with them.
This sort of reminds me of the tobacco industry and Joe Camel, which was a cartoonish type figure to attract teenagers.
Yes.
We banned that.
Exactly. And now we're going through it all again.
Okay.
And you see these celebrities who are vaping on TV
ads. What's vaping?
So vaping is the act of using the e-cigarette.
Okay.
So we talked about the liquid.
Right.
And it's not smoke.
And it's not burning.
And it's not burning, but the battery is there to generate heat. So the liquid is heated with a coil, and then it is pulled through an atomizer, which diffuses the liquid and makes it into this vapor.
Anybody who's ever made soup sees vapor
yes.
coming off the soup, and you can smell it. That's
exactly.
what you're doing.
Exactly.
So this becomes atomized. It becomes into the air.
Mm-hmm.
You have propylene glycol. Mm-hmm. You have flavorings mm-hmm. of some sort and chemical molecules. And then you have nicotine all being not swallowed and going through your GI system, but inhaled into your lungs. So you're inhaling chemicals
yes.
That we just described directly into your
yes.
gentle, carefully made lung tissue.
Yes.
Okay.
As a lung doctor, I cringe when I think about the...
All right. So, the more I'm hearing about this, I'm sort of going, holy moly. And what was the purpose behind this? Why was this invented particularly?
There have been many people who have created smokeless tobacco devices and, you know, different forms of taking in nicotine. Because people like taking in nicotine. It makes them feel good, and some people are addicted, and it's impossible to quit a lot of times. So this was created as another device that hopefully would be safer than conventional smoking of cigarettes.
I got it. So the idea was this would be safer and a way to transition away from cigarettes. So
yes.
the studies that have been compared the safety long-term of vaping versus cigarettes?
There are none.
So then how can anybody believe it's safer?
I think those of us who have taken care of patients who have cancer and emphysema, COPD, and cardiovascular disease from smoking cigarettes, I mean, it's such a terrible thing. It causes so many diseases and kills so many people that it's hard to imagine something worse than smoking cigarettes.
Yes.
So,
there's not a doctor I've ever had on this show that said smoking is good for something.
Right.
So, I mean, it's always been, and smoking makes it worse.
Right.
No matter what the topic is.
So as a lung doctor and a physician in general, like, I desperately want an option that is safer than cigarettes, because if we could get our patients off of it, so many people would be happy. But again, as a lung doctor inhaling these chemicals, I automatically say, well, there's no way this is going to be good for you, one, and two, cause no problems at all. So now the research that we're doing is just to determine, you know, how safe is it? How bad is it?
You and I live in a world that if a new drug is coming out and it gets compared to the old drug, and we have to have some data that tells us when we're switching. This is all over the counter, if you will. It's available, not regulated by the FDA.
Over the web.
Over the web, yes. And so nobody's requiring any studies that prove even that it's a lesser of two evils.
Right.
It's still bad for you, but it's not as bad as a cigarette. I don't know. That seems like a damning with faint praise. But we don't have that kind of information either.
Right.
And if I understood you correctly, you said that these are pre-made.
Some of them are pre-made.
And some you can make yourself?
Yes.
So even scarier that somebody's doing this at home.
Yes, and that you have a bottle of very concentrated nicotine, which is toxic, and there are more reports of children drinking it and becoming horribly ill because they don't have childproof tops and the parents aren't thinking that this is, you know, a deadly chemical. So people at home are mixing the nicotine with the chemicals to make their own e-juice that they can take in. And it's, you know, these are not trained
chemists.
Let's
take 100 proof alcohol and mix it up to make our own drinks.
Right.
That's
dangerous.
What this, yes. It doesn't make sense. And so the amount of nicotine that's in a cigarette is relatively well known now and disclosed. So but you if you are addicted to that nicotine, this is a more effective, faster way to get your nicotine that you can even now get more. You could become more addicted because you could pretend to yourself that it's safer, cleaner, and healthier, and just keep giving yourself nicotine by upping
I think
the dose?
So I've read a lot of blogs of these vapors. So people who use the e-cigarettes are making a vapor that they're breathing in. So that's why it's called vaping, and they are vapors. And there's lots of blogs online, and there's a fair number of people who document very stringently how much nicotine they're mixing in and taking in. And interestingly, it looks like the people who are most successful at getting off of conventional cigarettes increase their nicotine intake by 2 to 20 times when they switch to e-cigarettes. And it's almost like, you know, they're taking in so much nicotine, they have no cravings at all. And then over time, they try and bring the concentration down by either vaping less or changing their liquid to a lower concentration and weaning themselves off. So, you know, that has worked for some people. The official studies that have come out on whether it's helping people quit, it doesn't look like it is very different from other treatments that you can get from doctors.
How long will it take us to know whether or not these e-cigarettes are damaging people's lungs or causing other diseases?
I think we look at it historically. So just like with conventional tobacco, it can take decades, meaning, you know, upward of 50, 60 years before cancer will show up or your heart disease shows up. So it's going to be decades before we really know chronically what these devices do.
And we should remind people, it took decades before people accepted that cigarettes were actually no good for you.
Right.
There was arguments in the 40s and 50s that it was healthy.
Right.
And so, because we didn't have that kind of data.
And right now there are the arguments that it's healthy. So a lot of the advertisements are, this is the healthy alternative. This is the clean, you know, green thing to do instead of burning tobacco.
And are there social groups that have formed around this? Are there clubs? I mean, you go to a bar to have a drink.
Yes.
Do you go to some place to vape?
There are multiple vaping shops. And vapories, and you can just drive down the street and see them.
Rich walnut wood and dim lighting.
I'm not sure because I haven't been in them, but okay. I sent people in to buy from the shops.
So there's a social
up.
Part of this.
There
that
is
goes
a social part. And if you talk to the college kids or read those blogs, just how people socially smoke, so now people socially vape. So if they're, you know, with their friends, and they will use these devices with regular cigarettes or by themselves.
And are we looking at unions asking for vaping breaks like we used to have smoking breaks?
It's probably going to be the same because as new legislation comes in, new rules. So the university campuses that were smoke-free are now insisting on being vape-free. The hospitals are, you know, making themselves vape-free, which was kind of terrifying because patients were vaping in their rooms.
I didn't even think to ask you that question. I'm sorry. It didn't occur to me that that was happening. So a secondhand vape? Could that be harmful to people, or do we have to worry about the batteries?
Exactly.
Or,
I mean, you should think about it the same way as conventional smoke. And in the video that we have, you'll see that as you pull air through the device, the vapor that comes out is as thick and tangible as smoke. And I believe the reason that it was designed that way was that people feel more satisfaction. They can see what they're breathing in and see what they're breathing out. But yes, that then goes into the air, and so anybody nearby will be breathing in that nicotine and those chemicals as well.
And the nicotine is the nicotine is the nicotine. You're addicted, and you are addicted.
Yeah.
And it's not changing, and maybe you're even more addicted in some ways. You can control the dosage, but asking the addict to control their own dosage is a funny thing.
Yes.
So let's not fool ourselves. You're still addicted.
Yes.
People are addicted to caffeine. They have their coffee, but they don't have these I guess that now we're getting super high ways to dose caffeine.
True.
As well. But, I mean, is this adult human beings making the decision about what they want to do with their own life? You can have a drink. You can have a vape. You can have a coffee.
Right. So if it's a recreational drug, then I think that is how we've seen cigarette smoking, as long as it's only affecting the person who's doing it. I think, you know, as a society, we need to make sure that we're not promoting things that, you know, can hurt somebody, you know, allow them to easily do something that will cause great damage.
And we know this already inflames your lungs, right?
It is not known for sure, so I would not say that firmly.
Is it reasonable to think it probably does?
Yes.
Okay. And then what does it do to the bacterial cultures that we have out here in the community?
So that was the original drive of our research. So originally, we started studying the effects of conventional tobacco on bacteria that colonize our nose. So as humans, we're coated in bacteria and even on the inside.
Sounds disgusting, but it's normal.
And they're very good for us, and we, you know, do very badly without them. So as we breathe in all of these things, but breathing in conventional tobacco smoke for sure, it affects our own cells and it hurts our own cells. So why isn't it stressing out the bacteria as well? So we did studies to see what the effects were of conventional smoke on Staph aureus, which is one of the big bugs that causes infection and colonizes our nose, and found that it made it more aggressive and harder to kill and caused more disease and was able to kill more when we put it into mice.
Oh, great.
Yes.
So, probably a lot of people are aware of the, you know, super bug, the MRSA, methicillin resistant.
Yes.
Staph aureus. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. So we're making it tougher to kill. So yes, it is already called a super bug. It's already resistant to antibiotics, some common antibiotics that we use. We still have a couple of big gun antibiotics that can kill it. And what we found is that the exposure to the cigarette smoke makes it more resistant to the antibiotics that we make in our own body. Now, when we turned over and we decided to look at the effects of vapor, the e-cigarette vapor, on the same bacteria, we found that it did similar things, that it also stressed the bacteria and made it arm itself and made it harder to kill when you put it in with our white blood cells that usually defend us from infection. And that it also, our recent studies just in the last couple of weeks, have found that it causes increased resistance to the antibiotics that we use to treat patients with.
Let's explain to everybody what that means, that we have a bug that's now resistant to the usual stuff, and it's becoming even more resistant to the last resort big guns.
Yes.
That's a little, more than a little scary to me.
Yes, and it frightens me too. And I do think it's an important piece of information because we've directed a lot of energy and time and resources to coming up with new antibiotics or new ways to attack these bugs to make them susceptible to these antibiotics. And it's important to know if we're driving the boat in the wrong direction. We're pushing these bugs in the direction that we don't want them to go.
Because the people are putting these things together themselves, is there a concern about their hands not being clean, mold or fungus in these? Do we have to worry about other things?
I would, because just with the companies, they have, you know, vats of chemicals and they have metal and they're putting these together. They're not, who knows what they're cleaning it with? Who knows what all this stuff is coated with?
Are they regulated?
They're not regulated. So we have no idea what's in the chemical even that you're buying. And then, yes, people take them home and they're mixing them and whatever. It's not like they're bleaching and aggressively cleaning out, you know, the devices.
If we go to a pharmacy that compounds medications, they're regulated.
Yeah.
If they have to mix something, there's a whole protocol for that.
Yes.
But this...
And there's quality control. They'll pull things out of the line. They'll check them. And if they find something bad in a batch, then they wipe out the batch.
But not in this circumstance.
No.
So what do we need going forward? What do we need to find out? I don't hear that you think that this needs to be wiped out. I hear that what I heard is we're worried because some 7% of high school students have tried this. They're pitching to kids with the flavors, so we need to start to getting some political regulation. We need to start regulating the way these things are manufactured. And we need to get some science and education out there. What kind of science do you want to see done now?
One sort of project that we've started setting up and I'd love to see is to actually have vapors come in so that we can get samples from their airways to see what the e-cigarettes are doing to the cells and the liquid that is usually lining your airways. And I think that will give us a big flag as to whether something is happening very quickly in people who are using these devices. So that's one thing, to study people who are vaping or not vaping and see if it is bringing in cells that can cause damage to the airways or if it's hurting cells that are in the airways and causing inflammation that will damage and cause disease.
So 20 minutes ago, I didn't know what vaping is. Now we're tossing it around in a conversation like it's a routine word. And to do those kinds of studies, now you, one of the things that we mentioned at the top of the show is that you work at the Veterans Hospital. And we all know that there was a time when the United States government gave cigarettes or allowed veterans to buy discounted cigarettes once they exited the military. And you've seen the horrible consequences of what that's done. Where does the money come from to study some of these things for vaping? How do we begin this?
The FDA has actually released a request for proposals on tobacco in general, and specifically one of the things that they wanted researchers to target was the toxicities, the potential toxicities of e-cigarettes. So I actually just put in a grant on that on Monday.
Congratulations, because that's a big effort. I'm not sure everybody recognizes how much work it takes to just submit the grant.
Right.
Not to get it, but to submit it.
Yes.
So you put the grant in for...
And it was in response to the FDA's request. So the FDA is actively putting money towards research. So, you know, they will pick out some of those grants and they will fund them, and hopefully, you know, people will find out stuff that we need to know about the e-cigarettes. The NIH itself, the National Institutes of Health, also will fund tobacco-related research. And the Veterans Administration, so the VA, has its own research funds that they use, and I anticipate that they will be funding proposals as well.
As you're talking, I keep thinking of various different things. I'm an ophthalmologist, so I'm thinking, does the nicotine get into the eye, and does it cause any problems with intraocular pressure or other things?
Right.
Because of the dosing. There's so many spin-offs to this, that start to pop up in your head once you start to think through it.
Right. And so there is... the world is completely open in terms of the research on these devices because so much needs to be done to evaluate them for safety. And I think you made a very good point that, you know, we are not here to wipe out the e-cigarette market and all those companies, but we just simply want to make sure, you know, people know what they're inhaling and know what the consequences could be. And that also, if there's a way to make these devices safer, then that would be great. If
yes.
we could give information to the companies so that they could make a safer device even on their own, that would be wonderful.
They've created a drug delivery system.
Yes.
And we know that no drug delivery system could ever get approved without extensive study in the world of medicine.
Right.
But yet there is a wholesale market that is running a giant experiment on human beings with no control, no follow-up, no knowledge, and no regulation.
Yes.
And so it's not too much to ask for that we get some information
right.
to study this.
And interestingly, you'll see news articles popping up and online blogs about how, you know, people are very experimental with this stuff at home, and they're adding in other things to the liquid, so other drugs, other things to give themselves highs or lows.
Oh, super.
So it's another, as you said, drug delivery device.
Wow. So in the last couple of minutes that we have left, the world, according to you, what would you like to see happen going forward if you could control the next 5 years or so regarding e-cigarettes?
I would love all those organizations we mentioned to give me grants so that I continue my work. We're living in the dream world, right?
Yes, exactly. You get to control the whole thing.
As I mentioned, the effects that we've found show that the vapor on human cells appears to be toxic and that the airway cells that are exposed to it are unable to fight bacteria the way that they should. So I'd like to see in the next 5 years studies that really show in humans whether the effects of the e-cigarette vapor are causing inflammation, are decreasing our ability to kill bacteria and making us more susceptible to infection. And overall, like in 5 to 10 years, have safer devices out there, have marketing completely blocked from TV, billboards in particular, and to have celebrities stop advertising that this is a sexy, glamorous, safe thing to do.
Yes, it seems so obvious that we have to be very careful about this before we wholesale. It's $2 billion now. What's it going to be in 5 years?
Right. And they already have 2 million children who are using them. There are over 20 million adults, you know, using them and growing. And in particular, most people have come out and said that if these e-cigarettes were only being used by conventional tobacco smokers, that people would not be as upset. That, you know, if we could keep it in that population, that that would make people happier, that we weren't introducing, you know, more nicotine and drugs to other populations. And if you look at the cigarette smokers who are using the e-cigarettes, they do not have any higher intention to quit compared to regular cigarette smokers. So that's one thing they have definitely shown for sure, is that you can combine the two, but it's not like you're going to actually quit just because you're using e-cigarettes.
And that was the theoretical advantage.
Benefit.
Right.
And I think it's kind of unfair to say, you know, as long as they're using e-cigarettes only with people who are already putting chemicals into their body, that that would be fine. Because, I mean, we care about that population too, and we want them to, you know, quit smoking, but also be not taking in chemicals that could be dangerous.
And they've already damaged lungs. Who knows if that's worse when they get the e-cigarettes on top of a normal lung would look.
And in general, it's not their fault because it was marketed so heavily, you know, for decades.
Right.
The prices were so cheap.
Yeah.
And so it's just sad. It's sad.
You know, there are people who have to take the forefront of this. And thank you so much for what you're doing, because it is crucial that we know what's going on with this, that we need the information. Thank you so much for sharing this with us today. And I look forward to getting you back in here to catch us up on what we learn as you learn.
I'd love to.
So we can pass that along to the audience. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I hope everyone's been listening carefully once again. Dr. Laura Crotty Alexander has given us information. And we say it all the time. Knowledge is power. You should at least know what you're doing and what you're putting into your body and how you're affecting it before you do it. And you should have information that helps you have better health. I'm Dr. David Granite, and we'll see you again next time right here on Health Matters.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.